Let's go ahead and open to Proverbs chapter number 9. And we're going to roll back to verse number 7 to kind of get the context rolling again. Solomon is writing this letter to his son or sons to help them choose wisdom over foolishness. And he's using the extended allegory of wisdom being the type of woman, the godly woman that you'd want to marry and spend the rest of your life with, as opposed to the foolishness of the world that's like the wild woman that is looking for a one-night stand, a good time, and maybe the opportunity to roll you and take your stuff and just kind of use you up and throw you away. Everybody has to choose one of those two. Either the wisdom of God, which you have to choose intentionally, or the foolishness of this world, which if you make no choice, that's what you end up choosing. And unfortunately, getting people to make that choice is sometimes controversial and causes trouble. So Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7, Solomon writes, "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury." Sometimes when we tell people they're making poor choices, they react negatively. They despise us for it, and they'll even lash out and sometimes do harm to those that would dare tell them that what they're engaging in is inappropriate. And so, even in our desire for other people to make good choices, we have to be thoughtful. So, verse 8, "Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you." And I made the application yesterday that I think this is kind of like what Jesus said about not casting your pearls before swine, and not giving what is holy to the dogs. We have to be sensitive to when people are not interested and even made angry by the offer of God's wisdom to them, because we should be trying to reach the ones that are interested. So if we run into strong resistance, we move on. Think about the Apostle Paul in his missionary work. When he went into a new city, he went first to the synagogue because the Jewish people were the most prepared to hear the gospel. And he would work with them until he reached the point where enough people had responded that there were negative responses happening. And then when it became all about a hatred toward Paul, he moved on to the Gentiles and tried to bring the gospel to those that were interested within that community. And then when that community reached a saturation point where there was a negative response, he typically moved on to another town, because you can only do what you can do. Then you have to move on. So I think that's what's happening here, is that we need to be sensitive when we're sharing the wisdom of God to know when we've reached saturation point, when we're doing more harm than good, and move on to somebody that will benefit from the gospel instead of just pounding the same dead horse, okay? Verse number 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, he's going to be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, he will increase in learning." And so when we were closing up yesterday, I was saying that this is kind of given the indication as to who this book is for. It's for the people that are interested in becoming wiser from God's standard. For those that do want to improve by God's direction in their lives. It's only going to benefit them. Verse 10, "The fear of he who is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So people have to kind of have a respect for God, or they're not going to be interested in the wisdom of God. So that's kind of the starting point for the book of Proverbs. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. So we're back to wisdom making the appeal here. She's talking to us. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. So, proverbial. You will only do yourself an injury by refusing to embrace God's wisdom, God's word, God's salvation. You're just hurting yourself. Verse 13, the woman folly is loud. She's seductive and knows nothing. So we're back to the negative picture again. And give that quick warning that it could be that some things are going to pop up here in a moment that might not be the best or most appropriate for younger ones. This is more for adolescents and above that can appreciate the imagery of wisdom being like the woman that you want to spend the rest of your life with. And folly is the wild woman that's only looking for a good time for herself. And once she's done with you, she don't care. So the woman folly, the opposite of wisdom, unrighteousness, ungodliness, is loud. She's a seductress. She knows nothing. She sits at the gate of her, the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places in the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Well, whoever's simple, let him come in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So here you can see that there is a moral component to what we're talking about here. Folly tries to get people to look on what they can get out of stuff, regardless of what the rules might be. You know, yeah, the stolen fruit tastes the best. You want some of that, don't you? Well, go get it. And the secret bread, you know, the stuff you do that's hush, hush, you don't want anybody to know about it. Got to do it in the dark. Because then they might want to stop us if they knew we were doing that. It makes it special that way. Well, you know, that's not good. There's a reason why the Bible portrays righteousness as light and wickedness as darkness. Because what goes on in the dark is way too often done there because it's not appropriate. It's deadly and dangerous to other people. So folly, foolishness, her invitation should be ignored. It should be rebuffed. Verse number 18, but he does not know that the dead are there. This is that Rephaim word again. It's the idea of those sunk down. It's the dead people have gone into the earth physically. Their bodies have been laid in the earth, and their spirits have gone to the unseen place, Sheol, or the New Testament word is the Greek word Hades. They're just waiting for judgment now. So when she's making the invitation to come and join her, these victims-to-be don't realize she's already done a whole bunch of other people in. Think about that. All of the foolish people of the past who rejected the wisdom of God and embraced the foolishness of this world are waiting in the unseen realm for judgment for their choices. And yet foolishness is still looking for others to add to that total. And we don't want to help anyone to go into that camp, which is why we promote wisdom, the wisdom of God. Chapter number 10 represents the beginning of the, reference material of the book of Proverbs. A proverb is a short, pithy saying, something that is easily memorizable, something that is kind of witty in the way that it's framed, but has an application, a real-world application that we can benefit from. And so the Proverbs are a resource of material for all aspects of life. And I recommend it highly to immature people that want to become mature. So it's a good book for young people, particularly adolescents, those learning to think. It's also good for those that have just recently come to the conclusion in their adult years that they want to be saved. They want to live the life of God. They want to be holy as God is holy. And so it's a good way to try to break old habits by developing new godly habits. And the idea that these things can be memorized is very important, because memorization is one of the tools that we can use in resisting temptation. All right, so Proverbs chapter number 10, the first part of the verse 1 is the Proverbs of Solomon. So that's kind of the heading. And because we hit all sorts of different topics in a random order, we're going to come back. We're going to circle around over and over again to the same themes. And my advice is, when you go through the book of Proverbs like we're doing right now, if you have like a little notepad nearby where you can write down the ones that you think will help you the most, then you can go back and build your own database of memory on that particular topic that might give you problems. So use this as you would a resource. All right, first one. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Now, keep in mind that Solomon is the one writing this. He's male, and he's writing it particularly to his son, Rehoboam, more than likely. And so he uses gender assignments that relate to that relationship. So he basically says, hey, good sons, wise sons make their dads proud, make their dads happy. But you know what foolish sons do? They break their mama's hearts. So it's an appeal to be kind to your mother, but it's framed in a negative sort of thing. Don't break mom's heart. Verse number 2. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. So just because you can do something and make a lot of money off of it, that's not reason enough to do it. It needs to be legit and appropriate, because if you do it illegitimately and take advantage of other people, that's going to get you in trouble for eternity. Doing the right thing is always the right thing, is what this sort of proverb teaches. Verse number 3. He who is does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Now, we're tempted immediately to think about physical hunger and physical food and things like that here. But I would want you to remember the Beatitudes of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So yes, it's nice that God gives us our daily bread, and that's what we should be praying for. And it's a thankful thing that we pray about when we're able to feed our face, because God has made that possible. But the more important thing is to feed our soul with His Word, because he will not make us go hungry for righteousness. But the wicked people, because they're not interested in it, they're not going to get it. In fact, God's going to have to deal out justice and judgment in those situations. Verse number 4 is one of our proverbs against laziness. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So if you work hard, then you're going to be able to take care of your needs. But if you're lazy, then that's a problem. Verse number 5. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a man who brings shame. Now, this is kind of a twist on the parallelism where you have a contrast that happens. So summertime is the same in both. Harvest happened in summertime for the Jewish people. So if somebody's out there gathering the summer harvest, that's a wise kid. That's a wise son. But a guy that's lazy and sleeping during the harvest time is shameful because they're expecting everybody else to pay their bills and take care of them, and that's not appropriate. Verse number 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So God's blessing is on righteous people because they're doing good things. But wicked people are up to no good. They're up to trouble. And so the implication is that that's going to bring God's judgment on them. Verse 7. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. So good people build up a reputation that even when they die, people think about the good things they did when they were alive. Unfortunately, bad people gain a reputation as well. They become notorious, and we continue talking about the horrible things they did long after they're gone. Verse number 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. So again, that contrast that people who are already engaged in God's wisdom, they want more. They want to receive more information as to how to live the righteous life. But those that don't have that attitude, they just babble on, and they end up spelling their own doom. Verse 9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Now, integrity here is doing the right thing the right way, and that's the way a Christian should live. People who do things for their own benefit and they twist stuff around, they will eventually be found out. If not in this world by maybe the governmental authorities, they certainly will be found out by God if they don't repent. They will come under his judgment. Verse 10, whoever winks the eye causes trouble, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And so we've got two different things, both of them negative, going on here. The winking of the eye, that's not a jovial wink where you're sharing a joke. This is a signal to your compatriot in crime to take advantage of somebody. And that's just as bad as somebody that just yaps and yaps and yaps about wrong things. Both of them are going to come under the judgment of God. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So good people try to speak what is beneficial to everyone. Even when they critique people, their goal is to try to help them get right. So the mouth of the righteous brings life. But wicked people, they're not interested in that. They're interested in what they can get out of it. And so their mouths are used to smooze people. Smooze people. They're trying to take advantage of them. They're smooth talkers and will try to convince you that they're looking out for your best when in fact they're not. Verse number 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Now, this proverb is alluded to by a couple of New Testament writers. James, the half-brother of Jesus, Peter as well. So it must have been something they memorized. When somebody hates somebody, they're not looking out for their good. And so that just causes trouble. But if you love somebody, I mean genuinely, in a God fashion, then you're looking out for what's best for them. And so you are trying to help them get past wrong decisions, wrong actions. So in church discipline, for example, the goal is not to kick somebody out of the church. The actual goal is to get somebody to change their sinful behavior and stay in the church. So love is trying to cover up all of those sins in the blood of Christ. Verse number 13. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. We have here our first reference, I believe, to corporal punishment in the Proverbs. And it wasn't just for young people, you know, a spanking, as we would say, but rather for adults who misbehaved, repeat offenders, and they ended up getting a spanking in public, getting a switching, a rodding in public. And so here the proverb talks about wisdom can be found in the mouths, on the lips of those that understand the way things should be by God's standard. But for those that refuse that sort of attitude, then pretty much the only thing they're going to respond to is negative reinforcement, a spanking, if you will, to tell them, knock that nonsense off, stop it. If they won't be good for good's sake, maybe they'll be good for the sake of not getting in trouble. That's what the proverb is presenting here. Verse 14, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool brings ruin near. So wise people are thinking about long-term impact, while foolish people, they just spout out all sorts of things for the present. They don't care about what's going to happen in the future. Verse 15, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the poverty of the poor is their ruin. So you think about the difference between a rich person and a poor person, and a strong city, and just ruins. There is this, these passages in the book of Proverbs that just state the way things are in reality. And that is, rich people are more secure in their lives. That's just the way it is. Poor people are less secure. And I guess maybe what's being promoted by this is work hard. Make sure that you've got enough to take care of your needs so that you can be secure. I think that might be the motivation of this sort of proverb. Verse 16, the wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. It makes me think about the New Testament. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So everybody gets paid back for their actions in this world. All of us should want everyone to have a good paycheck, that is, to have eternal life. Unfortunately, that will not be the case, but we can certainly work toward that. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. So the contrast here, misbehavior is trouble for everyone, so avoid it. Come back next week and we'll continue in the book of Proverbs.